in my head, too. As long as it's not that... Jesus takes the wheel. It's 34 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of March of the year of our Lord, 2006. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This, my friends... Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. That's the soundbite we don't have anymore. We lost the Bruce Williams. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. Before we go one single step further, let me give you this, the phone number, in case you need it for any reason today. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email at, it's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick, and I apologize, but anybody who's emailed me, here's the thing, is that the email, I read all of it. I read every single piece, every single speck of it. But I just, late, like the last, how long have we been on, 3 weeks? Is this, are we halfway through our third week?
Yes. We are. Yeah.
We are now more than halfway through our third week. I think I've responded to about 3% of it. I mean, there's so little of it that I've gotten response. Just because it's, I'm not complaining about it. I'm glad that the people are communicative. But it's just so much. I just, and, you know, and of course I'm an idiot guy. So there's all, people have figured out that there's certain ways to get me to click on the email. Or there's certain ways to get me to, like some guy sent me something yesterday and the headline is just something, something, Scarlett Johansson, something, something, oiled, blah, blah, blah. And of course, and it never is that. You click, and it's always, without fail, it's always some guy who's like, I knew I'd get you to click on this by putting oiled, you know, Scarlett in the headline. It's never anything relating to that. But that's the stuff I read first. I do get it all read. I'm trying to get it responded to, but it is slow going. It's 503-733-2970 today. It is Thursday. Here's what's coming up today. We've got, I mean, already they're coming in. We've got, I don't want to read again. I'll make you wait on it. But we're already getting emails about this, the city versus suburbs thing. Now, that's happening next Saturday. Next Saturday, April 8th. Sport 515 is taking place at the Rose Garden, which is, and they used to have it at Mount Hood. And Mount Hood was packed out. I mean, Richie Bristol and I used to have to try to fight to get decent seats. There was like, well, Mount Hood is with 2,500 people, 3,000, like that. Well, they moved it to the Rose Garden. I saw the big flashing thing at the Rose Garden again last night, and they're expecting, I don't know, between like 8,000 and 9,000 people. It's gonna be huge, as Tom Servo would say. That is happening next Saturday. Now, as part of that, the sport fight, they're doing the greatest thing, where they're doing a city versus suburbs match. They're trying to get a guy who represents the city and a guy who represents the suburbs, and then they're just going to beat the snot out of each other. It's going to be fantastic. Sarah Dillon's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Jim Riley, if he has nothing better to do that night.
Well, I just might. I want to see people from the suburbs beat up on people
That's
in the city.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
You never know.
Just reading, I don't have time, but we'll do it later. Just reading the emails that have already come in from city-dwelling folk. Because as Ice-T would say, living in the city is a serious task. And so so we've got these emails. You can find out more, by the way. You need to go to rickemerson.com or go to johnson970.com. There's a little entry form. This is no purchase necessary, no cost, no. Your mileage may vary, blah, 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 blah. It's totally free, but they're trying to find a guy to represent the city and a guy to represent the suburbs, and they're going to do it as a special bout, a special match at Sport 515, which is going to be in the Rose Garden. So, I mean, A, it's your chance to have fantastic fame and glory, to demonstrate your eye of the tiger in front of thousands of people, and to woo all women within, I would guess, probably like a 50-mile radius. And to beat up on a guy from the suburbs or the city, if that's your thing. So we're already getting suggestions about this, and we're going to help select these guys. I am proud of the fact, by the way, and then we'll talk about the other stuff coming up today. I am proud of the fact that when the Sport 5 guys, Matt the Law, Lindland, and Randy Couture and all that, I am proud of the fact that when they decided they needed to find a guy to, you know, a guy from the city to fight a guy from the suburbs, they came right to us. They didn't go anywhere else. They didn't go to any other radio show. They didn't go to any other zany DJs. They came right to us to find those guys. So you go to rickemerson.com or johnson970.com. You can find out more. And we'll read some of these entries we're getting later. Best thing ever. Speaking of best thing ever, coming up probably within this news hour, we have... It really may just be the single best Hick Watch we've ever had here. And it's so good because it involves a death. And Tim and I actually had to ponder for a while this morning. We had to read it, and we had to read it again. Then it was necessary to read it a third time because we couldn't really figure... See, the problem with the Hick Watch, and when I say problem, it is a relative term. so often...
The quandary of the Hickwatch.
It is a conundrum in that so often, Hickwatch and Darwin Watch, it's a fine line. They're really the line of demarcation between a hick and a guy who's just too dumb to live anymore. The line is so... It's a constantly shifting line. It's a line that is... It's the most amorphous of all lines. But we did, at the end, we made it a hick watch. But there is death. Don't worry about it. You don't worry your pretty little head.
We promise.
A guy does die at the end.
What fun would it be if it didn't?
So, it is... It really is just one step removed from the, hey, watch this school of news. Coming up later on today, because Angus Young turns 51, we got the top five AC/DC songs they don't play on the radio. We did the Aerosmith version of it last week as big hits. We're going to do the top five AC/DC songs you probably don't hear on the radio, because they got to play like Highway to Hell for the 9 millionth time. That's coming up. And then, really, the headline. This is Tim Riley brought this news in today, so don't blame me for this later. Because I get a lot of people going, I was appalled and shocked. I got a lot of the dear program manager. I was shocked and appalled by the 3 feet of stories that you had. And it wasn't really 3 feet of stories. It was really like, it was like at least 9 feet of stories, because one of the stories had 3 fetuses in it.
And the best part is, since you're the boss, you get to respond.
That's what I'm talking about. And so I emailed back with, dear guy, no one cares.
That you, never happened. You must have been listening to something else.
Are you sure you weren't listening to Air America?
Delete.
One story had a whole box of fetuses. So it's clearly a 3 fetus day. Some three for. I should have saved it for today. We should have an all fetus Friday or something. There's enough fetus news out there these days that I. Well, anyway. We're going to get to this later on. And this is from Tim Riley.
I gave you like 3 good ones.
This one is called Hygiene Gone Wrong. Now, you wouldn't really think that hygiene could go wrong.
Oh, yes, it can.
But that's a supposition that's going to be disproved. And then not even any Whitney Houston in this story. I think just to amuse myself, though, I think I might read that Whitney Houston story once every day for the next week. Just because it's the best thing ever. It's never going to get old. So that's coming up. And today we will get to this brand new It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. New twist on an old favorite. It is not Wing. And I do want to get to that today. And again, we'll talk more about City versus Suburbs at Sports 515. All of that's coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's jamming a finger into her eye and scratching herself again.
I am not scratching myself. My eyelashes,
that's
my
quite
mascara.
A visual.
Yeah, it's clumped. My mascara.
Clumped. What a pretty word that is.
Yeah. Well, anyone who wears mascara knows what I'm talking about.
It's a clumpy
about.
Day.
It's... Okay.
A bing. Wait, hold on. No, hold on. It's a clumpy... Wait, we did... Z! There you go. All right. I've just been waiting to use that. I only got a chance to use it like once yesterday. So Sarah, who rejoined us today, she was gone for a personal... You're scratching yourself again.
I'm sorry. It's my hair. Now you made me self-conscious about it. Now
you know
my hair is over here.
Your hair itches? You know who scratches themselves a lot is the guys in my neighborhood who shuffle up and down the street with the hollowed-out flashbulb eyes and the sallow skin. Like that woman in the before and after meth photo, she scratches a lot. Woman picking big divots out of her face.
Ew.
You don't want to do that?
They eat those cheap sugar cookies from the dollar stores.
Yes, that's why. Cookies filled with asbestos. No, it's really not why. It's also not because they eat those eggs in Alabama, which have probably killed dozens of people, because Tim was urging Southerners to eat toxic food yesterday. I also would like to urge toxic food to be consumed by Southerners.
Please.
Yes, do it now. All right.
Make it part of your religious observances.
Tim Riley's in the Johnson 970 newsroom at the City Desk working on the following stories for you today.
Well, the military will test a bomb that guarantees a mushroom cloud will linger over Vegas.
Fantastic.
Just watch the happy savages. Another Iranian hostage is free. Hooters Air calls it quit. And the Catholic Church receives over 700 fresh sex abuse cases.
That's fantastic. Wait, is that a clergy watch?
Yes, it is.
Way back.
Oh, wait a minute. Should I make it a clergy or religious nutcase? Oh,
well,
I decided
this...
again.
Well, these are all very vague definitions that we use. And again, it's sometimes like a corpse watch versus grave watch. It's like if a guy. My rule is this: like with the corpse watch versus grave watch, Kirk, who was running the board while Sarah was incommunicado yesterday, mm-hmm. Kirk had this. He's like, "Well, why is the Darwin? No, what did he say? Why is the corpse watch and the grave watch called the same thing?" And it's because the story. My thing is, if you have to break through any sort of a barrier or a lid to defile the corpse, it becomes a grave watch. If you're defiling a corpse, it's just like laying around, like a guy just hadn't put it away yet. and you go in and you're making making like a bong or something out of it, then that is a corpse watch. With the religious nutcase and clergy watch, in my opinion, the clergy watch is reserved solely for sex abuse cases. Now, fortunately...
Therefore, we will have a clergy watch. Yeah.
So there you go.
I didn't schedule, but I will redo.
All right. Well, anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I'd normally include some pithy observations, but we're already like 6 minutes behind. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Deep, presented by CBS. Tim Riley reporting. So let's talk about this hostage girl, the girl in the babushka.
Is this Jill Carroll?
Yeah, the one with the cheap sunglasses and the thing wrapped around her head.
I don't know, but go ahead and read that, then I've already got email. I've got preemptive emails about her today.
Well, a kidnapped American reporter Jill Carroll has been freed in Iraq. The freelance journalist was on assignment for the Christian Science Monitor when she was snatched off of Baghdad Street January 7th. She told reporters in Baghdad TV today she had no idea where she was being held.
Oh, wait, is that the JC2 here?
I really don't know where I was. The room had a window with a glass.
It was in Iraq.
Thanks for clearing that up, ace reporter Jill Carroll.
Did
I teach you at the goddamn journalism school? It had a window with glass in, as opposed to a window made out of plywood.
Well, that's very rare in Iraq to have a window with glass. That should be pretty easy to find.
Okay.
Here is the president's reaction on word when it reached him.
Thank God.
And apparently he's doing some mixing of paint in the background. Wait, hold on.
Thank God.
Painting around the ranch.
I don't even know what that sound is. We should do a kooky mystery sound.
Wait. Thank God.
Okay, seriously. What
that sounds like a loose microphone, like it's coming disattached from its wire.
What, are they also swinging it around, though, and tumbling it through a rock polisher?
Thank God.
I think he's putting a car up on a catapult.
Thank God.
Is he shouting that is? While hopping a tramp steamer that's rolling by in the back?
Thank God.
All right. All right, we're going to hold on. New kooky bit.
Uh-huh.
Mystery. Oh, wait. Now, Don and Mike used to do that, right? Did Don and Mike used to do mystery sounds?
Mm-hmm, and look what happened to them.
So preemptive apologies. If we do mystery, I'm going to note right now it's not original. I am, in fact, stealing that bit. I'm not stealing. I am giving credit. I'm paying homage with that bit. Mystery sound. Let me file that away.
Thank God.
All right, there you go. Thank you. File that away for later.
The father of American reporter Jill Carroll, who was freed from captivity in Iraq, says he's feeling fine.
Thank God.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me.
The media coverage for Jill has been amazing. Couldn't believe it. And we certainly appreciate that.
Thank God.
All right.
Meanwhile, the second biggest story in Washington, D.C. today, it's time for the Cherry Blossom Festival.
In other words, you're going to see them most likely for the parade. And that's the good thing about the cool weather. Just like a refrigerator, it slows down the process. The blossoms will be around all of 10 to 14 days this year.
Says a guy waiting for the cold drink to come in at the general store while whittling a stick.
He's the National Park Service horticulturalist.
Uh-huh.
Rob Defiant.
He sounds horticulturally.
Up to Texas we go, as a North Texas man is behind bars today for allegedly torturing a woman for nearly 3 weeks.
The hell was that? Hey, somebody's got their cell phone on.
I'm sorry, that was me. At least it wasn't Kelly Clarkson, right?
No, what is that? What was that sound? It was like a doorbell.
It was.
Is that just
a text message?
Let's see what it says.
Who could it be?
Jen Lane.
I won't be in the day.
And it says, it's Maracas, he's in Mexico.
Oh, she's in Mexico?
Those are maracas. All right, move along, Jen. God love Jen Lane. Jen sent me an email at like 7:50 this morning.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting there and do you do this? Well, probably not. But when you hear the text message sound go off, Tim, do you get text on your phone?
I probably do, but I don't pay for it.
All right, you don't, because, like, I know some people that sell those big ass, like, not the brick ones, but the sizable phones that, like, they haven't bothered to, like our friend Chris, who was the music director Bigger Than Jesus. He has this phone from like 1998. It's like a big Ricky Roma and Glengarry Glen Ross phone. I don't think it does anything. But when I get a text message, sometimes I get nervous because I'm afraid it's a call that I've missed. You do that? We hear that, because like when I text, it makes the same sound as voicemail. And so I'm always afraid that I've missed some urgent call.
Ah.
Well, anyway. See, that's what happens when they put you in a management position.
Oh.
You have real concerns. It's not just looking pretty, all right? So.
Well, you've never had that as a concern.
Bada-bing! Wait, hold on. All right, for the, yes, thank you. All right, there you go. See. No, so Jen emails me like, or texts me like 7:50. It's like, won't be in, terribly sick, XOXO, Jen.
And you know she's still up from the night before.
And that's the thing is, you know she's not hungover, because that's some pain she can play through. You know that it's just a long night somewhere with somebody. Which I mean with respect. She's the
greatest of respect.
No, I really do. No, I'm sure that that's how she will want to be remembered. When Jen dies someday, I think she'll just want to be like, she'll want to be propped up somewhere for like a week with like a martini in one hand and like a vial of something in the other. Yeah. And then we'll all drink and do a jig around her as though she were a maypole. It's like some sort of like an Irish drinking meat Portland
like
kind of a thing.
Mistress of mirth.
She'll want to be remembered that way. What are we doing?
I was talking about this Texas torturer, which is cut number 5.
So he tortured a woman for how long?
For nearly 3 weeks.
All right.
Fort Worth Police Department Lieutenant Gene Jones says Robert Stevenson allegedly kidnapped the victim from her Fort Worth home and allegedly tortured her by kicking her, breaking her foot with a metal object, and hanging her upside down by her feet.
Jesus Christ.
At this time, he used a blowtorch to burn the victim's back. Well, to make matters worse, Stevenson poured liquid Drano on the victim's burn, and that caused severe pain to the victim.
No.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about Texas here.
Why are we playing that? Oh, my God.
I don't want to know about this.
That's a whole lot of, Paul, you know, the Indians in the diamond mines used to be hobbled, Paul. I want you to write my misery novel, Paul. That's a whole lot of, okay.
That is a whole lot
phone.
Of.
I'm sorry, I thought I silenced you.
All right, I'm going to answer this phone while you're... Hi,
That sounds like when you're next in the teller line at
Rick,
the bank.
Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is George from Wilsonville. Those are the dry, leathery wings of Dick Cheney in the background.
The dry, leathery rings of
wings.
Dick Cheney? Wings. Oh, I see. Okay, no, that does make sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it does.
Hey, let me run this high-concept movie title past you.
All right.
Underground Trailer Park Dungeon.
It's already been done.
Yeah, you'd have to do a sequel to that.
Okay, then let me throw a band name at you and I'll go away.
Okay.
All right, hurry.
The Swaggering Shatners.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks, bye. All right, there you go. Now, we just got another email from Jen, or a text from Jen Lane. Can you read it?
Yeah, I can read it, Rick.
That'll be your last
answer. I mean, can you announce it?
He's
not
the boss.
Can
he's
you,
giving you permission.
Not can you read it.
May you read it?
Would you like to share with
the
group?
I guess she's listening because she just wrote, I have pink eye effers.
Okay, well...
Heifers?
No.
Heifers.
Heifers.
Oh. Yeah.
I have pink eye effers.
Oh.
Well, that's, I mean, fine. I mean, it's not fine, I suppose, but... Look, I wasn't implying anything that she wouldn't want implied about her. Saying she'd been up late, she's living too hard to come in. She's living after midnight. She's rocking till the dawn.
As may very well be public knowledge.
Okay.
Thank God.
All right, thank you. I think somebody's shoeing a horse.
Thank God.
This is like that Mexican guy yesterday that was just speaking a bunch of gibberish.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy yesterday, we don't have to be to get that. And it was just a whole lot of, like, weird consonants and vowels didn't make any sense.
Thank God.
All right.
Moving ahead now, let's go to the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch for Thursday, right here in the Rick Emerson radio program.
Cool. Well, I guess it would be nice.
The nation's Roman Catholic leaders receive 783 new claims of sex abuse, with most of the allegations involving cases that are decades old.
How would you even have time to molest that many children? That's like if you molested one child every day and no repeats, if it was no repeats molesting year.
You know, there used to be a lot more priests than there are now. Back in the 50s and 60s,
so
every other
like,
person was a priest.
So now there's like... You've got now one-third the number of priests having to molest twice as many children. It's like, where would you even have time to conduct mass?
Right.
Like, I mean...
This goes back to 1950.
I'm trying to imagine what that day planner looks like, you know? Rape, mass, rape.
Well, the bad part is these go back to the days when if somebody found out you didn't go to church, you would be in trouble.
Yeah, well, now we know what the trouble was.
Uh-huh, we certainly do. These go back to 1950.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
The latest figures released are part of the third audit of the bishops. They're trying to restore trust in the leadership of the church, and they're doing quite well.
Have fun with that.
Let's see. All three audits were conducted by the Gavin Group, a private firm that employed teams comprised mainly of former FBI agents. Prior to the new audit, the abuse problem was known to have cost ISIS more than $1 billion. But new figures should be out soon.
Okay. I don't even know where to go from there. I have no... The comedic possibilities are already taken by the church themselves. I have no way in which to make that any more amusing than it already is. Except to say... Like, you know, the church, the Catholic Church, is the single largest property, land, and wealth owner in the history of all civilization. And that is true. That's not like a hyperbolic overstatement. That is true. The church owns more stuff and money and gold and property than any organization ever. So, $1 billion. In the 50s, so all of these guys have got to be like in their...
80s? 90s?
Well, no. I'm the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the victims.
Oh, yeah.
So if it happened in the 50s, the victims got to be what, 55?
Ready for retirement.
56. Yeah, all right. There you go. There's your clergy watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Because I
got to
have faith.
Fantastic. All right, let's see. We got this email. Rick, I see that with the... Oh, this is from Todd the Corpse, who no longer has a sound effect. Rick, I see that with the Rick Emerson Show version 5.0, you have abandoned your old let's keep disturbing news stories out of the lunch hour guideline. For the past few days, I have enjoyed my lunches with the dulcet tones of Tim Riley reading stories of torture, hobbled feet, fetus hoarding. God, fetus hoarding happened in the 1 o'clock hour. I take umbrage at that, sir.
We have to draw the line somewhere.
There we have standards. The hoarding of fetuses and the box full of babies happened in the 1 p.m. hour. Thank you, sir. Cotton candy sticks jammed into a young child's soft frontal lobe. That was at like 12:50. And Rick saying, no repeat molestation Monday. I never said that.
Maybe on Monday you did.
I never said no repeat molestation Monday.
Because we don't guarantee that at all.
No, that's... because it may... I mean, who am I to say we're not going to repeat? Well, let's break now, shall we?
There shouldn't be any complaints because nobody had anything to listen to during the noontime hour for the last 11
Seriously,
months.
What were you listening to before? Like you were listening to Ed Schultz.
You know, some old recorded Clear Channel newscast made in
Seriously.
Michigan somewhere 12 hours ago.
Okay. Hi there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're a proud, proud part of the CBS radio family, and they're glad to have us, sort of. It's 503-733-2970. Don't forget, best pick watch ever coming up. City versus suburbs. Find out more at johnson970.com. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Not yet, no.
It is Larry.
Someone's calling during the break. I'm hearing all this comedy. Have you been fired again? Why would he call you here asking if you've been fired?
As soon as I answered, he's like, oh, never mind.
Oh, I see. So he just heard Dennis Leary and was like, that didn't last.
I was hoping to hear David Lee Roth.
Okay. We know that's not what the call was saying. I didn't say that. I didn't hear anything about David Lee Roth. All right. I don't have any idea what the... I don't have any idea.
Thank God.
Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. That's my new favorite song. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Sarah X Dillon, Tim Riley. Here's what's coming up. We're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in just a moment. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will be here. I've noticed that I've gotten several emails about her, there's now diverging opinions about the depth and breadth of Lisa's feelings for me. So we're all going to be listening for,
So far, it's all been good.
That's what I'm saying. We're all going to be listening for any sort of Freudian slips, any sort of between the lines messages Lisa may be sending me.
All right, I'll be listening. I think she's lost interest.
Oh, no. Well, I can get her back. Nothing a blowtorch.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Nothing a blowtorch and a gun won't.
And some Drano.
Nothing I can't solve with chloroform.
Little Texas romance going on here.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank God.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, I can't lose control this early on. Boy, by the end of yesterday's show, though, that Whitney Houston story, I was unable to breathe. I was not. You weren't here for that, were you?
I was not. Was it all about the smoke and the crack?
Yeah, but I mean, saying that it was a story about smoke, it doesn't really convey.
Was it Bobby Brown's, or like her sister, or someone's sister?
I'm reading it all again later.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to read the whole thing, all 6 pages.
Because I've seen the pictures, but I didn't read the article.
The pictures don't really do justice to the story.
She just needs a little reorganizing.
Yes, and some new blood. All right, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
All right. Did you hear about this? The U.S. military plans to detonate a 700-ton explosive charge in a test called Divine Stake, which will send the mushroom cloud over Vegas. I don't want to sound glib about this, said the scientist, but I thought we stopped nuclear testing. Now, the test is part of a U.S. effort to develop weapons capable of destroying deeply buried bunkers housing nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons.
How can that possibly be safe? Didn't everybody who ever walked on that ground in Vegas where they tested the nuclear weapons, did they all die?
Yeah.
Isn't that why John Wayne's dead?
Uh-huh.
Because they filmed Genghis Khan at wherever that was.
And all those TV news people who cover those explosions have all died of cancer like 2 years after.
It's fantastic. You go back and you watch those news footage, and it literally they'll show some news guy in like a light windbreaker. A light windbreaker and like some Ray-Bans. As you can see, 500 feet away, they'll be detonating an atomic bomb. Scientists have assured me that it's completely safe. And he's talking about, like, the friendly atom and the peaceful applications. And in the background, you just see this, as this atomic mushroom cloud is reaching into the sky.
They redo a bit. They're gone 2 years later. Yeah, so was the entire crew who was with him.
5 years later, he looks Ethiopian, and he's wasting away at Cedar Sinai. I mean, so
we haven't done that in a while, so we might as well.
It's time. Yeah. Well, and am I wrong about this? Or when they were doing the nuclear testing the last time in Vegas, didn't they pitch that as one of the reasons you should stay at, like, the Sands?
Uh-huh.
Because it was, you could watch nuclear testing, like, every...
Spectacular.
Like, once a day or
right.
something?
It's like a gift from the Lord.
I miss those days. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir.
Hey, they're going to be detonating nuclear weapons near you.
Wow.
Well, okay, wait. Thanks, Jim. Wait. Now in Vegas, they're going to be, Vegas, baby. They're going to be setting off, we just had this, they're going to be, when is this happening, Tim?
Let me look.
All right, they're going to be setting off a nuclear weapon at some point, in Vegas, to demonstrate, they're testing some new bunker buster, atomic weapon of some kind?
Oh, it doesn't give the date, so they want to keep everybody in suspense.
Oh, so just watch the sky, Jim.
Well, as long as it doesn't affect Wayne Newton, I'll be okay.
But I remember,
Wayne Newton's been affected for a long time. He's been unable to sing for like 10 years.
Wayne Newton at this point has just got so much plastic casing inside his body, though, that really nothing is able to penetrate that. I'm surprised he can get food down.
I mean, he doesn't melt in those temperatures out there.
No, he really does look like a Madame Tussauds figure of himself. And he's got those, you know, and like with every year, every passing year, the cheekbones get higher and higher and higher. And
their eyes popping out of his head like he's a pug.
And yet you see those, man, you see those creepy old women that like one of his sweaty-ass scarves. It's all unnerving. Hey, now, I was reading the CNN prep sheet this morning, and I saw a phrase that struck me as a little odd and somewhat creepy. A state where you all, and again, we talk about these things because, you're a favorite correspondent, and B, because what happens in California, when I was in high school, they told me this thing that, and it's always, do you ever hear stuff like the gum stays in your stomachs for 7 years, and you hear it when you're a kid, and it just becomes a fact that you recite for the rest of your life, and you realize later it's probably crap, but I remember hearing that everything that happened in California culturally took 2 years to infiltrate the rest of the country, by which time California had moved on. So, like, by the time breakdancing got to, you know, Kennewick, Washington, you know, you all were already out of it. But they're doing this biomonitoring program?
Yeah.
What? That sounds unnerving and Orwellian.
It's a bill that they've been trying to pass for 4 or 5 years now. It even made it to the governor's desk last year, but he vetoed it, saying there's not enough scientific evidence to support the bill, and one of the senators that are pushing it said, well, you got to pass the bill and collect the data to make the science apply,
right?
You know, It's just that we monitor everything from the air we breathe to the fish we eat, but we don't monitor ourselves. And there are 100,000 synthetic chemicals registered for use in the U.S., and a lot of them have not been tested against humans. And so, you know, they're concerned about chemicals and combinations of chemicals. I mean, it's real convenient to pop open a Clorox wipe and wipe the bacteria off your counter, but what is that doing to you and all those other chemicals that we have?
But so what is it that, like, a guy would just come to your house with, like, a gun and a syringe and be like, give it up?
It'd just be you'd go to your doctor's office and, like, a Geiger counter, I guess. They would test you for, because they say your body fat stores these things, these chemicals, and they would test what reaction, or they would test the what impact these chemicals have on your body, or what the environment is having on your body, because basically the chemicals are in the environment. So they want to test the blood and the urine and all that in the body fat and see what the environment or how the environment has affected people, if it has at all, and then they would turn that into regulating chemicals and things like that. And that's probably why the governor vetoed it, because he's lobbied heavily by chemical companies.
Well, leave aside for a moment the disturbing image of the doctor wanting to monitor my fat. Would this be voluntary?
Well, that's a good question. If it's a government program, if it's a government program, you would think that it would be something that, depending upon what you do, you know, if you work at a car factory or, you know, something like that, you would have to be tested. And then it might be, as a housewife or something, you would voluntarily be monitored or be tested for chemical combinations or whatever.
Are you leaning back in a chair and putting your feet up on the desk?
Yeah, actually, yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm just...
absolutely did.
Nothing gets past the eagle ears of the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm sorry, I should oil this chair, I guess.
That's no worry about that. Well, I don't know if you're anything like me, but, and I pray for your sake that you are not, but I don't want to know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I figure that I got, just by dint of living in America and is all of that, I figure I've got so many chemicals and so many things in my body that are going to kill me. That I'd prefer not. It's like those tests, like you can find that if you're going to get Alzheimer's or something. I just don't. I'd prefer not to know about it.
Oh, just from the crap you eat, you're going to, you know, preservatives and stuff like that is in there. You're full of chemicals.
I'd prefer just to live in sweet, blissful ignorance about whatever hideous toxins are coursing through my body right now.
And just one day not wake up.
Do you have your own office?
Yes.
And so this is your day? You're just there, like with your feet on the desk?
No, I just got back from, the Population Association meeting downtown Los Angeles. A bunch of scientists who study population trends.
Right.
And so I was asking about the illegal immigration population impact on the U.S. A very interesting take on that.
Hey, did you find out if Lisa Goddard was making up that statistic about 11 million?
That's again, and I did hear that figure a lot today. That's just something that, unless they all got it from her, I don't know. Maybe the country got it from her.
I think this... That could be taken out of context, but we won't do that. Let's just, on that note...
I just don't know how active she is.
God. Okay. Boy, there's some static on our end, Jim. We're going to have to end this call now.
The chair is getting squeaky here, too.
Thank you for coming by. Jim Rube in Los Angeles. Thank you, my friend.
All righty.
All right, there you go. He's totally unfazed.
That's not like kind of a boring assignment anyway.
Let's not play that when Lisa calls in. And let's all agree right now to never tell her about that.
Did he really just say, I don't know how active she is?
Right after, I think the whole country got it from her.
I think he's still
maybe he's talking about tennis lessons.
Thank God.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Time now for the Religious Nutcase Watch.
Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch for Thursday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love this sounder.
This is a two-parter. Our first one. In the largest study of its kind, researchers found that having people pray for heart bypass surgery had no effect on their recovery. In fact, patients who knew they were being prayed for had a slightly higher rate of complications. Researchers emphasize their work does not address whether God exists or answers prayers made on another's behalf. The study can only look to the effect of prayers offered as part of the research.
All right, thank you.
Don't waste your time, Frank.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Who was that? Who was the IRL guy that died? remember a couple of days ago, the Darwin with the racer?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it was Dana, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but didn't the news of his death reach his wife while she was at a church service?
That's what happened again.
There you go. Prayer doesn't help. God hates you.
Meanwhile, American society looks down on Christianity, says U.S. Representative Tom DeLay.
says felon Tom DeLay.
Now, he says this at a conference of religious conservatives. Uh-huh. But God and Jesus Christ have chosen Christians to stand up for faith, says he. He is facing some tough times of his own, offering a half-hour speech. That was part history lesson, part sermon to a crowd of about 300 gathered at a Washington hotel for a two-day conference entitled The War on Christians and the Values Voter of 2006.
Yeah, boy, it's hard to find any Christians here who get their way in anything.
Well, he said some commentators, the chattering class, will argue there is no war on Christianity in this country. But in a sense, there always has been and always will be, he said. Our faith has been in different conflict with the values of the world.
Yes, sadly, the Christians right now have to do with both houses of Congress as well as the Supreme Court and the White House. I don't know how they muster by.
DeLay made no mention of his own political problems, including a looming trial on state charges of campaign money laundering. The indictment in Travis County last fall forced DeLay to step down as House Majority Leader, a position that cemented his power in Washington. He denies any wrongdoing. The chattering class is out to get him.
Yes.
Liberals.
Maybe Jesus will get you off there. There's your nutcase, your religious nutcase. Watch for Thursday.
George Michael has been cautioned by police for having cannabis in his car. The singer, who's 42, who looks more like 62 at this point.
Boy, did you see that photo of him? What photo's with the story?
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, that's better.
Did we all see that photo? This happened when we were off the air. It happened at the end of February. We all see that photo of George Michael, the pop star George Michael, not arrested development George Michael, being arrested on drug charges.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, where's there? Did you see that?
Oh,
the worst. The worst. He was all bloaty. And
he looked like Scotty from Star Trek.
No,
he died.
I was going to say he looked like our old friend Todd Gorger. Just sort of, you know, just a slight puffiness. Not that Todd is, you know what I'm saying. Let's go with the Scottish Star Trek thing.
Wait,
he looked, George Michael had, you know, he does set the bar pretty high for himself, you know. And
well, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
It's not just idle hands. He got idle face, uh-huh. Idle ass, idle gut going on there. Hold on. What'd you say? Idle hands or what?
The devil's workshop.
It sounds, No, I was gonna have something there about, idle hands. No, wait, hold on. All right.
Yes.
Wait, hold on.
Are you praying over there?
No, I'm getting my morning DJ joke ready. Okay. Oh. Say that one more time.
Idle hands of the devil's workshop.
Well, I lost it again. It was gonna be like some variation on,
I could have come up with something by this time, but I was letting you do it. It's
idle hands. It was something about idle hands aren't so much a workshop as they are a Krispy Kreme store. And I just, no, I don't even, there was something there. No, and it's gone. Feel free to send in your own pithy morning show style joke there by the idle hands.
Well, the singer, who's 42, admits the offense at an early morning meeting with officers. He was questioned about his arrest back in February 26 to allow him to avoid publicity.
Was he questioned about why he's smacking Andrew Ridgely on the ass in that Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go video?
Nobody noticed that way back when.
Oh.
He was found slumped at the wheel of his Range Rover in Hyde Park Corner.
Slumped.
After his arrest, he said it was my own stupid fault.
Yeah, all right. It's just roll out the same soundbite from last time. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
You know, every time I think I have enough Florida stories, I find another one. So
no.
We have one, two, three Florida stories. We have the Florida story sounder. Okay, this just came in from Florida. Dateline Deltona.
Deltona where?
Deltona.
Where?
Florida. A man who encouraged a convenience store clerk to urinate into a bottle of soda will spend 6 months on probation. The state attorney general's office says 19-year-old William Bonilla must also write a letter of apology to the man who drank the tainted soda. The clerk who urinated in the soda bottle, 21-year-old Anthony Mesa, is scheduled to appear in court on a charge of tampering with a consumer
product. So this guy didn't even have his own urine.
He didn't even have his own mind. Authorities said a foreman with a Daytona Beach construction company bought the soda at a Pick's convenience store. He said he became suspicious of the drink after he chunked it down and vomited three or four times.
That is great.
The customer's name is being held in respect to his privacy.
That is vomited through. That certainly is seeds for suspicion.
Here's the photo from the TV. It says, soda sprinkled with urine.
That sounded like it was sprinkled, really. I don't understand. So, not that you're really going to be help with this, probably, but 19-year-old William Bonilla.
You know, you're working all night by yourself. Somebody comes in and starts talking you into doing things.
So a guy came in. Was
bored,
was this guy who... The vomiter? So we don't know who he was, but was this random? Like, it wasn't like, look, I need you to whiz here, and I'm going to give it to my buddy when he comes in.
Well, he obviously, the fellow who talked him into it must have given it some thought before he came in to talk him into it and knew the clerk was gullible.
All right, there you go, kids. All right, thank you.
Our second story here...
From where?
Florida. In a county where the casting and counting of votes has been an emotionally charged issue since the 2000 butterfly ballot, Palm Beach County elections officials say a low-tech blunder led them to report a wrong winner in the Magnolia Park runoff. That was Tuesday night.
I'm stunned.
The elections office had a stack of 109 paper absentee and provisional ballots from Pohunkies.
Well, that wasn't even a word. That was just sort of a strange bodily emission.
Apparently, this is a county. Pohiki County was mistakenly added to the Magnolia Park totals, warping the results with only 122 people voting. After Magnolia Park's town clerk questioned the seemingly skewed turnout figures, the elections office discovered the error Wednesday morning and released new figures, and now somebody else has won. Then we have this third story from Florida. A man in Orange County, Florida, was killed by a freak accident when he was run over by his own car.
Oh, that's kind of a Florida slash Darwin.
The 62-year-old man was pushing his car from behind on Golden Eye Drive, but the vehicle somehow rolled right over him. To avoid embarrassment, his identity is not released.
The family's going to tell everybody he died in some sort of...
at least he didn't drink a bottle of urine.
Yes, seriously. Okay. He was pushing the car uphill. I mean, that's... I don't really know that there's any sort of an X factor there. That's clearly what happened. All right. Good times.
Time for the Hick Watch.
Here's your, is this the Hick Watch?
This is the Hick Watch.
Oh, fantastic.
Makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering on around the house. That's Copenhagen, makes me feel so good.
I would like to say, by the way, that... These Hick Watchers are, of course, in no way meant to offend or cast any aspersions or negative light upon our fine sister station, Couple Country, yeah. 98.7, or any of their fine, upwardly mobile listeners.
A woman accused of murdering her husband of 2 months in yesterday, she shot him accidentally as she danced provocatively with him, with his shotgun to the music of Shania Twain.
Yeah, read the headline.
How my husband died in our Shania Twain sex game.
Yeah, that's right there. So you see that, and it's like you almost don't... Like, you don't need to pre-read. You don't need to go through and highlight interesting passages. They're all interesting.
Well, 49-year-old Linda West was called upon to demonstrate in court how she gyrated to the song, Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Oh, my God. Nate and I were just driving around listening to the song yesterday.
Were you gyrating?
No, I wasn't gyrating, but we were singing along, commenting how retarded the song was.
Yeah.
It's just one of those songs that you know all the words to.
She's how old?
49.
She had to demonstrate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's got to be good times for a cop.
She used a broom handle to represent the gun.
What if they drew straws? 50-year-old woman. 50-year-old woman gyrate her hips. And let me tell you this. If you're a 49-year-old woman and it takes... Look, this is... I've often thought about the Japanese.
Well, they never made it to the honky-tonk, apparently.
No, I... you know, the Japanese, if you've seen Japanese porn, Japanese porn is... interesting because they censor everything out. They pixelate all the members and all the female swimsuit areas. You watch porn from Japan, and it's all, you don't get to see, no one's business is shown. It's all blurred out. You start to use your imagination. So they're kind of repressed. Yet by the same token, the Japanese also come up with like weird tentacle porn where it's like women being violated by giant squid and so forth.
People in rubber monster suits.
Exactly. A guy dressed like Godzilla kicking over your wife and then sodomizing her. No, my point though is that the repression and all that. So Japan is really repressed, and so that's why they have the weirdest porn. So it is with this. This is how you know the spark has gone out. When to get your husband excited enough to have sex with you, You have to gyrate holding a loaded shotgun to a Shania Twain song.
This was a broom handle representing the gun.
But it was with a real gun, right? Yeah. That's how he's dead. Mm-hmm. It was, you were both presumably, picture this, you were both presumably nude. She's 50, holding a shotgun and jiggling her meaty folds. It's a whole lot of, yeah, no one wants that.
Well, anyway.
Stomach all bouncing and whatnot.
She said she had decided to arouse her husband, Gregory, who's 45, who was wearing only a dressing gown after getting out of the bathtub.
I'm sorry?
It says he was wearing only a dressing gown after getting out of the bathtub.
Some sort of a...
I don't know. I'm not sure what goes on in this household.
Her angora wasn't available?
I guess not.
Okay.
It was a sexual game that had tragic consequences. Giving evidence in her defense in the Westchester court. This happened in England. She said they shared a lovely evening at their Southampton home. Uh-huh. They had drank wine and she had run a bath for her husband. When he came out of the bathroom, she decided to put on a show and began dancing to the music of the country singer, which was playing on the stereo. The song contains erotically charged lyrics. She said Mr. West then disappeared into the bedroom of their flat.
Mr. West, and of course, now in my head it's Adam West.
Uh-huh.
It's Adam West nude, I'm sorry, wearing a dressing gown.
And then he reappeared with a shotgun and asked her to dance with it. West reenacted her moves using a broom handle, telling the jury, I'm holding the barrels of the gun and I'm dancing holding the gun and I was entertaining my husband. She said that at the end of the song, she put the shotgun on the floor beside her. With tears streaming down her face, she said, it just went off. It just went bang. West insisted she had been covered in to fulfill her husband's fantasy when the tragedy struck. It was just a game. It was just a game, she said. It was just a sexual game.
Sexual game. Shania Twain song. That whole... there's just no... I don't want to hear about that.
Too late now.
I don't want to hear about some woman, some 49-year-old woman jiggling her stomach for her husband to try to arouse him to a Shania Twain song. Can you possibly imagine... I mean, I'm just glad they're married to each other because that way they're not out there for us to marry. God damn, imagine meeting somebody and that's their idea of how to get themselves hot and bothered, is for you to come out there and thrust your hips suggestively to a Shania Twain song while holding a gun.
It said he was wearing only a blue dressing gown and no underwear at the time of his death.
There's your hick watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel skin.
That image will never go away.
I know it,
especially now because it is Adam West.
I need you to,
slobbering on around the house.
When I was Batman,
makes me feel so good.
I don't want to talk about Batman. I want to talk about Maxim Zuhl.
Do we have to break?
Yeah.
Okay, so here, let me just stop and take it. Who is this person? Why? What are these?
I do not know.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Please don't be calling about Shania Twain or thrusting or anything.
Really?
No, what is it? What have you got? Who is this?
You've been married, Rick.
I'm sorry?
How long have you been married?
A year and a half.
Okay. I've been married like 16 years.
Uh-huh.
I'll call you back when you're 49 and we'll see how you feel about the, dancing around and all that.
Now are you one of them? Look, I'm not trying to pass judgment on anybody of any age or whatever. I'm saying, please tell me that your wife doesn't dance provocatively to Shania Twain for you.
No,
it's the pause. The pause tells me all I need to know. Well, yeah, that, I can think I can fill in that blank. Ah!
All right,
thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for coming back.
No, are you spreading the word, sir?
You betcha.
All right, thank you. Say Z.
Huh?
Never mind. I was gonna do the delayed Z on the fill in the blank and you went, never mind. Thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go. It's not quick enough. All right, 503-733, fill in the blank. Fill in. Whatever. All right, now we come back, we're going to talk about the sport fight, which is happening next weekend, next Saturday, city versus suburbs, and we've already got entries. We're going to read more entries Saturday night, next Saturday, April 8th. We're going to be there, myself, Sir X, Dylan, Tim, Riley.
You know, I don't know if I can go.
Yes, you can.
No.
It's sport fight.
It's my boyfriend's birthday. Next Saturday. I can't do it.
Screw him. It is just, I'm talking violence. We got good seats this time.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about it. We'll read entries. We'll come back and we'll fix your little red wagon.
Sure. Have fun.
We have the worst song ever coming up. We'll get to the news pile later on. Lisa Goddard. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.